Curious Nashville is supported by Yazoo Brewing Company, where brewmaster alchemists transform ordinary grains into golden ales and lagers. There's no guarantee of achieving immortality, but you can still sample it just in case. Pick up a six-pack of Yazoo, a Nashville original.
I'm assuming we're alive and taping or
yes,
whatever.
We
okay,
are.
All right, so
we
I'll
are.
Be careful
yes.
what I say.
This is Mark McCaw. He lives in Bellevue, right outside Nashville proper.
You want to see recycling at the McCaw household?
Yes.
Okay.
The McCaws have kindly invited me to rifle through their recycling bins. In Bellevue, Mark doesn't have curbside pickup where he can just throw everything in one bin, so he's pretty meticulous about his separation. Here, he's got plastic and aluminum.
All sorts of sparkling water cans.
In another bin, there's his paper and cardboard.
I've got little, like, Amazon boxes. I think the final thing that we have is bottles.
A container filled with empty glass.
I think that was sangria.
Mark is a hardcore recycler. Sometimes he and his wife don't buy certain things at the grocery store because of the container they're in. Like, they'll buy eggs in cardboard cartons, but not styrofoam, because you can't put styrofoam in Metro recycling.
What is your reaction when you go over to, like, friends' houses and you clearly have something that should be recyclable, like a glass bottle, and they just tell you to throw it away?
You know what? I am very guilty of walking out with anything that I use at somebody else's house or office. I don't judge others in as far as their choice not to recycle, but if my body has touched it, I'm going to do everything I can do to recycle it.
But all of this passion also comes with angst. Mark notices that when he takes his carefully sorted recycling to the drop-off site, there are all these rules posted. No wax-coated cardboard, no scrap metal, nothing soiled with food.
I think it says this now down at our drop-off site, no hinged plastic.
That would be like containers that arugula comes in at the grocery store.
And there's signs outside that bin that say, no plastic bags. And I've always wondered, what happens? Does that mess things up?
Or to summarize Mark's question, what happens when you put the wrong thing in the recycling bin? It's a simple question with a not-so-simple answer, and tracking it down has changed the way I think about waste. But just in case you're too impatient to listen to the next 15 minutes, here's the short answer. If you put the wrong thing in the recycling bin, you are messing everything up. From Nashville Public Radio, this is Curious Nashville, where we answer your questions about the city. I'm Emily Siner, and today I will follow the life, death, and resurrection of those everyday objects you throw in the recycling bin. Unlike in Bellevue, where Mark has to sort things out separately, most of Nashville has what's called curbside recycling. You throw all the material, except glass, in one bin, and it gets picked up and sorted later. So I decide to start by riding along on a recycling truck.
Hello, how are you? Can you get in there?
I think so. Oh, wow, that's big. Okay.
Let me just say, the truck is serious business. I have to step up to what feels like the height of my hip, and then I sort of scooch myself onto the passenger seat.
There you go.
Which is actually on the left side. It's like a mail truck. At the wheel on the right side of the vehicle is Ricky Clark.
C-L-A-R-K.
The truck has this claw on the side that picks up a recycling cart, flips it over to the back of the truck, and shakes it out. It's clearly an art that Ricky has perfected over the past 15 years.
Operate off the joystick here, like a video game.
Ricky picks up 10 to 15 tons of recycling each day, and he's the first line of defense against wrong things getting into the recycling stream. If he can tell there's trash in the bins, he won't pick it up. But usually, he says, people are pretty good. The interesting thing to him is what recyclables people are putting in there.
I have 16 routes that I run, and each route is somewhat different on how they recycle, what they recycle. I had West End yesterday.
Which is a more affluent part of town.
I get more cardboard out that way than I do canned goods and things like that, and that's mainly because people do a lot of more online shopping. It's hard to believe that they do that much online shopping, but they do.
So this is probably where you stop thinking about recycling. You've thrown it in your bin, put it on the curb, maybe you see Ricky Clark pick it up, or you went to the city's drop-off site and drove away. And you probably get some nice fuzzy feeling from that. You've done your environmental duty, gosh darn it. Your Amazon boxes and soda cans and junk mail are recycled. But really, at this point, they are not at all. In fact, their journeys are just beginning. The recycling truck will eventually drive to an industrial part of Nashville off I-24. It pulls around to the back of a big, nondescript complex owned by Waste Management to a spot called the Tipping Floor. This is literally just a huge room with a dune of junk inside. The truck backs in and tips out all of your discarded stuff onto it. And I'm going to admit, it's kind of breathtaking. If you look closely, you can see all of these things that you find in your house. There's a yellow Purity Dairy milk jug, an empty 2-liter of Pepsi, an orange box that once held Nature Valley granola bars.
It's like I recognize these things individually, but they become a huge mass, almost an unrecognizable thing.
There's also some stuff that clearly does not belong.
You see that like cream color with all those slotted holes? That's siding off a house.
That's getting thrown out.
That's stuff that we can't do anything with.
This is Paul Farley, the guy who runs this place.
The site manager for Waste Management at the Nashville MRFs, MRF Material Recovery Facilities. Probably don't know that, huh? We like to say that we unscramble the omelet.
The omelet, aka this huge pile of junk, will get unscrambled into all of its individual material components. The cardboard gets separated from the paper, from plastic number ones, from number twos, from the aluminum cans. It's an intricate and labor-intensive process. And even that is just the beginning. Find out how this process works and why you're probably thinking about recycling all wrong after this break.
Curious Nashville is supported by Yazoo Brewing Company, where owner Linus Hall sips a hoppy ale and philosophizes about the dawn of mankind.
A lot of people theorize that it was beer that made people settle down and quit being nomads.
So beer helped create modern civilization?
Yes, yes.
I was skeptical, but it turns out some researchers really do think beer, not bread, is what motivated Stone Age people to grow grain and to bond around the campfire, the ideal civilization starter.
Cheers! Yazoo!
There's plenty of bonding going on at the Yazoo Tap Room, where you can pull a pint of ancient history and get civilized.
I'm standing with Paul next to the huge pile of junk at Waste Management when a recycling truck pulls up and starts emptying its load onto the tipping floor.
Oh, not good.
Yeah, that's definitely glass. And in Nashville, glass gets recycled separately because this particular facility can't handle it. When people put it in their bin and the truck drops it off here, it breaks up into tiny pieces and wears down the sorting equipment later on. Also not good is the fact that there are a lot of plastic bags in this huge pile, even though many of them look like they're filled with recyclable things.
What about, like, that bag of LaCroix
That right container? There, if it's tied, you'll see on the sort line, they don't have time to go up there and be breaking every bag open.
Yeah.
So, good chance it might wind up in the trash.
To understand why bags are a problem, let's follow the junk pile through this facility. At the back of the tipping floor, trucks scoop up masses of stuff.
Which then goes across a conveyor belt to the other building where the actual sorting takes place.
Watch where you walk.
Inside the sorting building, the conveyor belt goes through its first decontamination process.
Pre-sort one, what we do here, material comes in, they're pulling out any kind of wrappables, any kind of bags or wire, any kind of bulky plastic, any kind of scrap metal. The non-desirable items that would come in and clog up the machine, jam the equipment up.
There are real people doing this, which for some reason I didn't expect.
Yep, not fake people. They're real.
Then big pieces of cardboard get filtered out through a hole on the side of the building. Those will get recycled separately. Everything else keeps going on the conveyor belt until it gets to the big guy, the paper screen machine. This machine is made of small spinning wheels that bounce the material around. So paper and small pieces of cardboard get tossed over the top of the machine. Aluminum and plastic fall through the wheels to the bottom. So when plastic bags come through this machine, they spin around and get stuck.
We have to physically get in the equipment and cut all those bags out.
How often?
We do it minimum once at lunch and then at the end of the day. Sometimes we have to do it more. If you had a garden hose or something, get around one shaft and hook to another, it'll shut down the whole equipment.
Okay, so oversized plastic and metal won't fit through the equipment. Plastic bags and garden hoses will get stuck on it. I ask Paul, what about food waste? Why is that bad?
Let's say you had a gallon of milk and you put it in your recycling bin and the truck dumps. It's not just going to contaminate your recyclables. It's going to contaminate a lot more in that truck.
What about pizza boxes?
Pizza boxes these days, they come with a liner in the bottom. I tell people, I want the box, I don't want the pizza. Eat the pizza, give me the box.
You hear that? Pizza boxes are okay as long as you throw out the greasy part.
I had a few other specific questions from the question asker. One of his questions was hinged plastic. Hinged plastic.
Fortunately, I have a picture on my phone of a sign I took at a Metro recycling drop-off site.
Yes, plastic bottles. And then no hinged containers.
Paul shrugs.
If it's a 1 through 7, we can take it.
Turns out the sign is wrong. But I feel like this still doesn't truly get to Mark's angst, or the angst of anyone who wants to recycle right.
One thing I've heard about a lot is, and I've experienced this too, where I'm standing with an empty container in my hand and I'm like, is this recyclable or not? And so I either decide to just say sort of like, screw it, and I'll throw it away, or I'll say screw it, and I'll be like, you know, I'm just going to feel good, and I'm going to put this in my recycling bin and hope that it's okay.
My big key is focus on the things that can be recycled, and let's get that right. And don't worry so much about what you can't. Just worry about what you can and do that right. The recycling that can be handled in the single stream, it is pretty limited, and it's not really that hard to follow.
I'll be honest, I don't feel satisfied with this answer. Until we go to the third building in the recycling facility, the room with the giant baler. If the tipping floor was a neat freak's nightmare, this is the dream. Here, everything has been separated by material, bundled up into neat little bales, and tied with wire.
There's some cardboard that we baled. There's some mixed paper.
Is that a bale of plastic bottles?
Yeah. And then from here, we ship by rail car or tractor trailer, go to different mills all around the southeast.
It's inside these mills that the recycling actually happens. Paper gets turned into cardboard or tissue paper. Plastic gets turned into carpet or railroad ties.
What about aluminum?
Truly, once it's recycled, it 9 times out of 10 is going to come back as an aluminum can.
So this means if you throw something in the recycling bin that you think should be recyclable, but it's not what any mill wants, it's just mucking up the process. There's a phrase for people who do this, by the way, aspirational recycler. They're well-intentioned, but actually hurting the system. Because if the mill doesn't want it, it's going to throw it out anyway. And it might even reject an entire 2,000-pound bale if it has enough contamination. But, and this is a big but, you can still recycle a ton of other stuff. You just can't do it here.
There's a carpet pad recycler in Nashville. I can't take anything like that. But what's the other alternative? You throw it away, or you've got to be educated, or you've got to do some research and figure out what I can do with it besides just throw it away in the landfill.
Take plastic bags. You can't recycle that through Metro, as we've learned. But you can in some grocery stores. Fun fact, they might end up getting turned into lawn furniture. You can also recycle styrofoam egg cartons at Publix. You hear that, Mark? And hey, you can even recycle food waste. That's called composting. It turns into dirt.
If you look, there's really a home for just about everything.
What Paul is saying is that the word recycling means so much more than what you can throw in your bin. The question really shouldn't be what happens when you recycle the wrong thing, but where can you recycle this right? There's probably someone who's figured out how to break down your junk and turn it into something of value, something that someone else will buy, which might even get sold back to you. So let's close the recycling loop and talk to the last key player, the mills.
Hello, this is Sean.
Oh, hey, it's Emily Seiner. Sean State works for Pratt Recycling, which buys bales of corrugated cardboard from Waste Management in Nashville.
And we'll also buy what's called mixed paper, basically all the other paper that's put into the bin by the Nashville residents. So it gets shipped to our mill, our paper mill in Conyers, Georgia.
That's where paper and cardboard get broken down and turned into, in this case, more cardboard.
So a piece of office paper that's put into a recycling bin in Nashville could very well turn into a corrugated box.
Which then someone will use and recycle.
Right, and it'll start the cycle all over again.
How often do you just, like, reject entire bales because you can tell there's too much other stuff in there?
It happens every day.
Sometimes the offenders are obvious, like glass or plastic bags, things that should have already been filtered out. But there's also smaller stuff.
You know, for example, if you have a planter's nut container, which I'm looking at right now, you know, the bottom is metal, the top is a plastic, and the container itself is a paper with an aluminum inside. If you've got something that has multiple types of material, In all likelihood, that's not going to get recycled.
I think part of the problem is that people just don't think about or don't realize that each material gets sent to a different mill where it gets processed individually. And it's sort of like...
Correct.
You just sort of think like, oh, I throw this in the recycling bin and it goes off to a recycling facility and it magically turns into something new.
There's no doubt that that is what people think.
So is it worth it all to send your discarded junk on this journey from home to truck, or in Mark's case, the drop-off center, to the sorting facility, to the mill, to the company that's going to sell you more stuff in the first place? Everyone I talk to in the recycling industry says yes. Perhaps that's not surprising given their job. But Sean points out, a tree can only be cut down once. A piece of cardboard can be recycled into new cardboard 7 times. If, of course, you recycle it right. Curious Nashville is produced by Nashville Public Radio, and we get our questions from our listeners. That's you. Go to curious.wpln.org and find more information about recycling in Nashville, and you can help decide what question we'll answer next. The editors on this episode are Mac Linebaugh and Anita Bug, mastered by Carl Peterson. Our theme song and music is by Poddington Bear, courtesy of the Free Music Archive. And check out our other podcasts. Neighbors, a show about what connects us. Movers and Thinkers, hosted by me, where I interview some of the most interesting people in Nashville. And Versify, a show where poetry and storytelling merge into a really beautiful end product. Go to podcasts.wpln.org. I'm Emily Siner, and this is Nashville Public Radio.